They're trying to tell us something. They have figured out the formula for chaos.
When the clock strikes 8:30, babe, time to head for Chris's house.
Hey!
Will the song make it to the next round?
Oh no!
Pot of thunder. Let's pot tonight. Come on, baby, let's pot tonight.
Woo! Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Doc Gibbs and the Emerald Live Band. Coming to you live. Yes. Welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting. Brought to you by Blue Microphone.
Hey now. Come on.
I'm doing it because I can.
You got about 89 minutes to go here.
I'm not doing it because I have to. I'm doing it because I can. My voice is there now, so I'm going to play with it after doing all that Mongolian throat singing.
Andy tried a new warm-up regimen.
Yeah. Now I sound like a man. It is the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting. It is brought to you by Blue Microphones, and you know me.
He's not going to make it. I don't
think. It's your buddy, Andy, America's little brother.
We podcast every Thursday. You know Andy does it all. He's going to be here shortly. Fits the chair before he falls. The chair.
Damn, Nick. Big note there. Big chorus from Nick.
That Mongolian throat singing will help you with.
What song was that?
It's heading out, Priest.
Heading out on the highway.
Yeah, okay. That's it.
Heading out to the highway. I always thought it was an awkward title.
Heading out to the highway.
Yeah.
Well, before you get on the highway, you have to get to the highway, so...
I suppose.
It's about that brief period.
It's like here at Montezuma, the highway is what about... A quarter mile north?
Yeah, something like that.
But to get on it, you have to go to it.
So, yeah, but so I feel like that's an odd thing to write a song about.
So the song is about that residential area.
It is.
Basically.
It is.
Going past the speedway.
It is.
A lot of stop signs.
The anticipation of getting up to speed on the highway. The excitement that's lying ahead.
Stopping in for a nerd's rope.
Exactly.
And a yoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Got a long ride ahead of me.
Right. That's exactly it.
You know, sometimes it feels like it takes forever to get to the highway.
It does sometimes.
We have a lot of highways in this area, and it's like, oh, I got to stop at the ATM. I got to, this guy wants water. Okay.
You know me, I always have to stop for something.
Rich has to pee. Oh, okay.
Pull over again.
He'll go anywhere. We'll just stop.
Somebody's yelling at Nick from the next lane over. Just random verbal abuse. Yeah, lobbed in his direction.
That does happen.
Hell no! Trash ass Nick!
See, all the time.
Nick.
Every day.
I can hold you up.
It's a little bit disheartening.
Did the Priest tribute band at Jericho's Party, did they play that song? I'm trying to remember.
You know, I don't remember. They're great, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was the other day I was thinking about the singer's entrance where he came sauntering in from Jericho's house area.
Well, he's
up to the stage.
Recreating the...
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't realize it then, but then...
I remember because we had an episode not that long before that, and we were talking about that entrance. I'm like, he's doing it.
He did the exact same thing.
I'm like, that's great.
Just walking out like he didn't give a damn.
What were they called?
Call to the Priest.
Oh, maybe? Call for the Priest. Or
on the Priest. Yeah. To the Priest.
Head out to the Priest.
Yeah, which one is it?
Which one is it? On the way to the Priest.
So, there's a guy over there. And here he comes, ladies and gentlemen.
A little sluggish right now.
He's ready. He's got something for you.
Not ready.
He's so ready. And here he comes. Oh, yeah. Polka dancing his way across the podcast studio. Ching, ching. Nick Polak has entered the program. He's here.
Hello.
I don't know what to say after that, but get used to it. He's dressed for a podcast.
I just turned on the sprinklers. Like, I'm not changing after that ordeal.
Oh, yeah. What kind of, how many sprinklers you got going? What are you talking about?
I had to put a couple out.
Yeah? Yeah, one in the front, one in the back.
Hopefully they don't lose control while I'm gone.
Oh, do you have one that has like the little tires, the little tractor one?
I do have one of those, yeah.
Drives around the
yard? It's hopped the hose a couple of times and ended up in the neighbor's yard.
Oh, really?
Wait, what is this you're talking about? I've never heard of
it's
this.
It's a sprinkler that's a little tractor, and you hook the hose up to the back of it, and then you run the hose underneath it, and the front tire of the tractor is a little bit bigger than the radius or diameter of a hose.
Yep.
Yeah.
So as it spins, it propels slowly, so you can set a path for it with the hose.
Yep.
And it'll follow that path.
Sounds a little too complicated.
There have been some issues, but
yeah.
Overall, not bad.
I've seen those, but I've never used one. I've always been curious. I
had a couple situations.
Had a Menard score for you, Nick?
Probably so.
Hmm. Well.
So who knows where that is? There might be a backup all the way out here.
Right, it's crashed into a golf cart in his neighborhood.
Yeah. I saw a community post asking which nearby towns allow golf carts. I found out for you, Nick. It's not yours. You knew that, but it's official.
Okay.
It is not yours. So you have
So I can call the authorities.
Citizen's arrest.
Oh, I can't
whatever
wait.
Whatever you need to do.
Tasers.
Put a stick in the wheel or whatever. Flip it over. However, I don't know if that would work.
Well, you've been watching The Last Crusade.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worth a shot. Yeah. All right. Well, to Nick's left. You want him. We got him.
I can have it every day, yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way, yeah. Fuck you.
Woo. Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast, Medium. That is Chris L, and we are Pot of Thunder.
Apparently, the I can have it credo doesn't apply for certain people who want golf carts around here. Mm-mm. Apparently, they can't have it.
They're not supposed to have it, but...
Well, yeah, it's... Yeah.
Yeah. I was in... where the hell was I? Hobart yesterday. And I was in the gas station parking lot, and a golf cart pulled up with a... Terrible. A grown woman and a child.
Terrible.
Went inside. They were wet, like they were at a swimming pool wearing swimsuits. So I don't know what's going on.
What's wrong with your regular vehicle? Why do you have to get in a fucking golf cart? What is that?
I don't know.
Stupidest damn thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue that.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
I had one a couple weeks ago just make this crazy move all of a sudden in front of me.
What?
Just like right up onto the sidewalk.
You got to know better.
Just cutting across traffic and heading on to the sidewalk.
Don't you have to know what you're driving and how you can drive as a result? Like how safe you are? I mean,
no.
if you're in a semi, you can kind of bully people. If you're in a golf cart, you can't do that. What kind of giant balls did this golf cart driver have to pull a jack move while driving?
That was a jack move. I don't know. Not a good idea.
Mm-mm. So I can tell you one thing. Before we get started, you know, I was looking at the notes from the producers. Hell of a program we've got for you today.
I can't wait.
I was reading ahead. Great song. Wonderful Yardo question. So much insightful commentary. But before we get there, there's this little there's this little tin pyramid, and I need to know what's inside.
Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me?
Hey, you know,
you just gave me an idea for maybe we can get Andy to sing a baked treat intro.
I'm ready.
Just got an idea.
I'll do it. I'll do it
today. We'll talk.
All right. You know that the 10-year anniversary present is tin or aluminum, right?
No, I did not know that.
Well,
here we go. This is it. Happy 10 years. It's a pyramid. Do I have to open
big
it?
Hunk of.
Do I have to open it?
I don't mean that I don't want to, but I want to keep it. It's so beautiful.
It's a hunk, all right.
It's meatloaf, ladies and gentlemen. We've got ourselves a meatloaf.
Yeah, it's like a big coffee cake?
It's a. No? It's let's see what the name of it was. It was a cold oven pound? Cream cheese pound cake.
Yeah, pound cake.
And I
cold oven.
I got. I don't know what it does, but it says do not preheat the oven. Put it in and then turn it on.
Also, it like warms up gradually.
Yeah,
with it in there
with the oven heating up. Yeah.
There's some science to that.
And there's some different coloration going on there. That's I pureed, or it just powderized it, basically, some freeze-dried strawberries.
Mm, that's what that is?
And mixed it into half of the batter and put that. So it's like...
That's what's in the middle there that looks like sort of brownish?
Yeah, it's like sort of brownish. I didn't do the stereotypical American thing of over-coloring the food.
I do like that.
I didn't have time to either, but I didn't get the food coloring.
You got
to
make everything an obnoxious color.
It's unnatural. It's all mental, right?
It tastes better.
It probably does.
People in those poor people in the rest of the world eating non-yellow mac and cheese,
eating gray and brown food.
Oh, feel for you.
So yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's a pound cake.
We're just over here with our American blue jeans and our colored food.
Our pantyhose.
We're ready to
give
you.
They're eating off-color food, wearing their Miami Heat 2023 NBA championship gear.
It's everywhere. Everywhere else in the world now. We've changed the story. Every other country but America. Even Canada, they've got that going on, right? Mm. So, here we are. What are we doing?
My turn, right?
I think it's Chris's turn.
No, it's Andy's.
We can never figure out whose turn it is.
Andy.
So before we do that, I figure we should just get this out of the way now. Oh. Not get it out of the way, but it's, you know, we'll do it now. The 10th anniversary message this week comes to us from our friend Colin Taco Bell.
Oh, no way, really?
Yep, and he says, a message from your... beef with everything, buddy. Colin Taco
our
Bell.
Beef eater.
So our beef eater is something for us here. Let's see what it is.
Pop strikes 10, must be Monday night. A decade of stupidity, but that's all right. Listen to Pound of Thunder tonight. Leave us a voice message tonight.
Hey guys, this is Colin Taco Bell here. Just wanted to congratulate you on 10 years of Pod of Thunder. It's a great achievement. I discovered you first when I was looking for Kiss podcasts online. And the first episode, I think, was Radioactive, which is quite a while ago. So I went back to the beginning, started from episode 1. Been with you ever since. It's definitely my favourite podcast. I love the chemistry between the three of you. Really great. The stories that you tell, the things that happen to you on a daily basis when you're just out doing your normal day-to-day things. Just ridiculous. Just really great. All the things that have become like everyday speak now in Pod of Thunder terms. With, you know, the rake the leaves, pop stuff. Aggressive plan for the week. Great episode, so many that I could mention, but just a handful that came to me straight away. The two Gorky Park episodes, just brilliant, with the Jones brothers just giggling like 2 5-year-olds, and you can just imagine Chris just looking at them and shaking his head. The Fredbear episode, if you haven't listened to that, you need to listen to it. It's absolutely brilliant. The Kiss related ones, what's the one, The Holding In, Living in Sin, that is just so, such goodness. A great episode. Take It Off, another great one. One of the recent ones that I really enjoyed was The Great White Mr. Bone, that was so funny. Stuff about Jack Russell, really great. I love the community that you've started. A lot of people I speak to regularly online, fellow potheads, just great bunch of people. Even those pesky Caruso brothers.
Oh, they always get a mention.
They're good lads, really. So just again, just congratulations. It's a podcast that I look forward to every week. Love the reading the comments online, interacting. And it's the only podcast as well that I can go back and listen to episodes again. A lot of them mean quite a lot to me personally. The Oasis episode, Supersonic, we know Andy's views on Oasis. So I was quite nervous, but I thought he did a great job. And Chris's comment about the song meant quite a lot to me. So thank you again, guys. Some bands you've reintroduced me to, or introduced me to. I've listened to a lot more Stone Temple Pilots because of Nick being his favourite band. We know Andy doesn't like music, so obviously we don't listen to his recommendations.
Never got really.
It. Only joking, Andy. So just great stuff. So congratulations again. Three top blocks. Look forward to it every week. Congratulations. Last thing, fuck celery and obviously fuck Raimondo. Lots of love, guys. Take care.
I mean, the celery.
Not necessarily in that order.
Celery didn't deserve that.
Yeah. Raimondo, he did, but that poor celery.
He definitely did. And celery deserves it too. Let's not back up off our stance on celery.
Well, how delightful did it sound there? He's like living in a Disney movie with all those birds chirping.
They're landing on his fingertips.
Yeah, I don't blame them. If I was a bird, I'd land on his finger. You can take that however you want to. British British definition or otherwise, that's your choice.
Oh boy.
Woo!
Sticking with the American version.
Okay, yeah, that's probably smarter. So, thank you.
Yeah,
Colin.
Thank you. That's one of the top potheads out there. Always first to chime in on the discussion threads every week.
Yeah.
Appreciate his input. Maybe one day we'll have him inspire him to change his opinion on Carnival of Souls. He hates that album.
I'm not gonna try to convince him otherwise.
Me neither. Yeah, I'm on his side.
How's the pound cake?
It's good.
I haven't cracked into it yet. Chris, it's good.
Yeah.
Chris is into it.
Chris is gonna bust out the drill.
Hardy.
Plug in the guitar, bust out the drill.
Hey, what if we got that song? That'd be unbelievable. I'd walk out of here. I'd go buy a lottery ticket at the little store down the street. So, it's my turn to pick from the list, huh?
It's your turn to pick pound cake.
Okay. Well, pound cake it is. Nick, pull it.
Oh.
I don't think it's possible with the number we pulled here, unless someone made a big typo.
Forgot the V?
No, it's number 96, so it would have to be, at the end of the alphabet.
96?
Yeah, so our 96 is what we got.
So
here.
Like Can Halen?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or Bland Halen, yeah, something like that. Let's take a look-see and see what we pulled up. I like the guy who it's from. Let me see what he says about this.
Well, that's always something to take into account.
I don't believe him.
Well, you don't believe him.
I think he's
calling him a liar.
I think he's a liar and he's a bum, and I'm going to kick his song right to the curb.
Oh,
Bushwick it.
Move along to the next trick. We don't
want it! We don't want it! Ooh, just missed a couple of good ones.
Wow.
Though. Damn.
I found it's not necessarily the Pope, but I found a pretty cool tidbit there for that year. So I guess if we don't find anything else.
Okay, are you thinking about it? Debating?
I really, it's a very interesting little bit of trivia, but
is it good enough or do you want me to wait?
We can hold off and then I can always throw it in if we find another one.
All right, well, let's give it another pull.
Pretty cool.
And see what's up. Nick, give it another cha-chink. Ah, yes.
That's the music that's playing it's a Collins grandfather clock. He plays something like that.
It would.
Every 15 minutes.
Yeah. Do you have a grandfather clock?
No.
No.
I don't think people
Does
really...
Does anyone anymore? Yeah,
I was going to say that was like the thing, and now I don't think anybody gets them anymore.
No,
right?
it was mandatory, I think, for every household.
I think we should bring them back.
That'd be kind of cool.
Grandfather clock in Hammond, Oregon.
Yeah, in every house, right? All right, we got number 409. 409. Isn't that a cleaner of some sort?
It is
sort?
A cleaning solution.
Well, oh!
Uh-oh. Something's tickled Andy.
we have to do it. Okay. The only way we don't is if I tell you what it is and you say, oh, I had a plan for that. Because it has to happen.
All right,
it's going to happen.
Make it happen, then.
Yeah.
a plan for that.
Like, oh, I wanted to do an episode about that. And
Then those plans go down the toilet.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Well, what were we waiting for? I don't know.
Sometimes we do that. We have an idea or whatever.
I'm not finding anything for the year 409. So, Nick, if you want to drop your interesting tidbit on the crew before Andy reveals it.
Okay. Yeah, Nick, you have to tell me to hit it.
You may hit it.
Abemus Papa.
Time for Pope stuff. Yay, that Pope stuff. Here's some Pope stuff.
This keeps going.
Time for Pope stuff.
It's further out of sync.
As it should be. It's faithful to the original in that respect.
Chris failed to find a copy of this, right? This past weekend?
It's probably still there. I just didn't notice it. But it showed up in the pictures that they're using to promote the antique mall over here in Highland in their social accounts.
That's what they went with?
Well, it's among several, and it wasn't the focal point of the photo, but right there in front is a copy of Tough Enough on vinyl.
Okay.
You don't have that in your collection, do you, Andy?
No.
I'm going to have to go get that for you. It's a 5-star album, I'm telling you. I had forgotten how much I loved that album in college. Great stuff. So what do you got there for the year? What, 96?
96. It's very brief. The Book of Revelation is written, approximate date, 96 AD.
Who wrote that?
St. John.
Oh, shit.
The last apostle standing at that point.
He was old as hell.
He's the only one who wasn't successfully martyred.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And somehow that
they
dude...
They tried, but...
Somehow that dude lived that long?
Yeah, they exiled him. They exiled him. He wrote this, and... yeah. I figure it works for Pope stuff, since he was... he ran with the original Pope anyway.
Mm-hmm. Did he?
He was one of the 12 apostles, so he knew Peter. I think it counts.
That's a hell of a run for 2,000 years ago. Dude made it to like 90.
Yeah.
Didn't know they did that back then.
Yeah, he was pretty old.
Weren't they like 5 feet tall too? Everyone was little back then.
Is that true?
I don't know. I've heard that. Everyone's like a little twerp.
You heard that, huh? Okay. You heard that they were 5 feet tall. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Andy how that would come up in conversation.
And he's just trying to think how many people he could take from hundreds of years ago.
That's always what I think. I never actually do it, but it's the first thing I think when
I see a person.
I
will say that have you ever been to the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina? Nick?
No, I've never been there.
We went there a few summers ago, and I will say that was one of the many takeaways. Truly impressive. You should go. It's definitely one of those tourist attractions. It's worth it. Just the wealth of these people that's on display at this estate is astonishing. But that's what stood out to me, going through the house and going through the bedrooms. The beds were tiny.
Oh, people were, man.
Fucking tiny back
then. Dude, it wasn't even that long ago everybody was tiny.
Yeah.
You can go in like a 100-year-old house, whatever, maybe a little more, 120, 30-year-old house, and the stairs are tiny. Like, everything's tiny. Yeah. The ceilings are lower.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it was, you know, the main bedroom, and it looked like, you know, kids' furniture in there.
Yeah. It's pre-McDonald's, that's why.
Pre-McDonald's and all the steroids and the food and dairy supply and...
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of other weird shit going on.
All that good shit that we get now.
Yeah, we tower over the...
those shrimps of the past.
Shrimps. Andy's going to get a time machine. He's this close to... I'm looking for a time machine.
I'm going to put my hand on Ben Franklin's head while he swings at me. Little shrimp.
He'd probably be naked.
He would be masturbating.
He would be naked and for whatever reason.
Shitting something. Just a pig farting, picking his nose.
And then writing about it.
Yeah, somehow that's our most brilliant man in our country's history.
The first American, I believe they refer to him as.
Yeah. Well, it actually makes sense. It's pretty accurate.
I'm sure Andy could make a nice potent threat out of out of that. He could flip that on Ben Franklin.
I could.
First American.
Yeah. Who do you think you are?
Prepare for your last.
You little booger. All right. So.
So Andy's got a real.
I got a good one.
Slam cranker here.
Quite
for
a
us.
Reaction out of him when he saw it. So.
Yeah, I'm especially excited for Nick.
Oh, all right.
We'd be foolish to not go with this. This has been brought up many times, and today's the day, guys.
All right. I'm excited. I have no idea what to expect.
Cannot imagine.
Well, you're going to imagine right now. Let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called...
Loving Every Minute of It. Loving Every Minute of It.
By the band...
Lover Boy.
Ow!
All right.
Nick's excited.
Can we vote?
good, real good. Oh, yeah. So this came to us from Tanis O'Connell.
Thank you, Tanis.
Simply says, an absolute classic.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Is he the only one who submitted it?
Yeah, he is.
Surprising, actually.
That's the only lover boy on here right now, so far.
We have talked about this song many times over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's no secret, but I won't get too far into it.
Yeah.
No secret how we feel about it.
You're a big fan, huh?
A song that I had on my mixtape that I recorded off the radio and listened to over and over and over on our ride to Niagara Falls.
I remember
in like
that.
92 or something
how,
like that.
How
93.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, this was maybe like 91, 92.
I think it was 91.
So I had that on there. Well, I don't want to get too far into my feelings about it, but I'll just say that.
There's so much to say, and we will get to all of it, I'm sure.
And what year was this released?
It's 85, right?
85.
Was it 85?
I don't know.
I'm struggling. There's like a compilation version, but I don't see the album on here, so hopefully the compilation version is...
Yeah, there better not be any fucking weird editing or any of that horse shit going on.
Yeah.
This song, the only, I never knew this, the sole songwriter is Robert John Mutt Lang.
No kidding.
I was going to say, this is a Mutt Lang joint.
Credited as the only songwriter.
I had no idea.
You didn't know he was involved in this album at all?
If I did, I didn't know that he wrote this song. By himself.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm not sure I knew that. I knew he produced the album, though.
Mm. Wow.
So this could have been a Def Leppard song if he wrote it at a different time.
Very interesting.
If it came to him a different month or whatever.
Well, I mean, he would have been working on Hysteria.
Yeah, I
in
mean,
85.
This was released in August 85. So. Right. Although maybe that was during the period when they had Steinman working on the album, then they fired him and brought Mutt Lang back. Mm. Who knows?
Could be. Mm. Well, I'm sure Def Leppard would have done a great job, but there's no need to wish for anything other than what we're going to hear
It is interesting, though, because you just saying it, you can kind of quickly imagine it, and it would have worked, you know?
Another interesting tidbit, I don't know if it's on this particular track, but credited as an additional backing vocalist, Tommy Thayer, on this album.
What?
That's what it says.
No kidding. What was he doing with these guys?
Well, he had, Black and Blue going, I think, at this point.
Yeah, that'd be right.
So he was out there working.
Now, it turns out Mutt Lang did not produce this album. He just wrote the song. I guess I knew that he was associated with this album, but I just naturally figured it was a production thing. But no, a guy named Tom Allum produced it.
Okay.
Interesting.
Interesting. Mutt Lang's Canadian, isn't he?
He is. Isn't he?
I think
no,
so.
No. He's a British guy.
Same thing.
South African, so essentially
same
British.
Same thing.
Is he South African?
Yeah. That's what it says.
Oh, shit. I can never pick out a South African.
No.
North African, a lot easier.
Easier.
South African, no.
Yeah. I'd like to. I'd like them to all identify themselves.
You'd like to be able to just walk around and point them out.
Yeah. Say, hey, everyone, look at this fool.
I got this guy's number.
I believe he may have taken up residence in Canada, which would have made him an African-Canadian at the time.
Right. I mean, so, he was married to Shania Twain. Were they living in Canada or were they living in America?
They
probably
had houses everywhere, probably had their own private island. Who knows?
Yeah. Shania's back, huh? Back on the road?
Is she, yeah.
Yeah, she's touring. She's kind of silent for a while. Doing her own thing, living life.
We saw her a few years ago, last time she came through the United Center. Good show.
Good shit, yeah.
Yeah, get your money's worth.
That's good.
But yeah, Mutt Lang wrote this and did not produce the album. I thought it was both, but whatever.
Oh, all right.
The important thing is he's involved and this is a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. Nick, anything else before we get into it?
No, I don't really want to comment until I'm legitimately in a state of elation here.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick...
Andy, do you have any thoughts on this song before we get into it? I mean, the feelings of Nick and I have been expressed and are well known. What are your thoughts going in?
Well, I remember Nick's... I don't know why, that's so weird, but I remember Nick having that mixtape and us listening to it in headphones, probably one ear each on our very long rented van ride from our house to Niagara Falls, 1991. I'm sure I was a pain in the ass that whole trip.
That would make sense.
I don't remember.
Well, I remember one detail of the story was when we came home, we were like, you know, in the neighborhood. And our mom was like, let's go get dinner instead of going home. And I got real mad. So I kept kicking her at the Baker Square table.
I don't remember that.
She talks about it still. But
I'll have to get her on the show.
Listeners aren't going to like to hear that. Nope. Kicking Mama Jones, that's unacceptable.
Well, she needed to be kicked. I wanted dinner at home.
You needed to be tossed into the fucking trash compactor out back for doing that.
Don't remember that at all.
Yeah, she'll tell you. So, there you go. That's where we're coming from today. Let's take a quick commercial break. We got to hear from Baker Square. Is that one still open, or did they shut that one down?
You know, I don't even know. I think
the Lansing one is closed.
Oh, yeah. I've gone to the replacement of it, which is infinitely better.
What is it?
The Honey Berry Cafe. It's like a...
Really?
Yeah, breakfast, brunch, lunch deal.
Oh, I didn't even know
Top shelf. I recommend it. Go on a Saturday.
I'm going.
But you're going to knock out two meals at once. It's one of those things where...
This is the same guy who orders from the Munster Pizza Hut on the regular, so not taking that recommendation at face value, tell you that.
It's a good restaurant. The Pizza
it's
Hut.
A good talking restaurant.
About, talking about the Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Nick? That Baker Store Square still kicking?
You know, I don't know. It is, but... COVID hit Baker Square pretty hard.
They did.
They got rid of like all their best pies. Well, they got rid of most most of their best pipes.
I thought you were going to say hit them hard because a bunch of their stores closed and almost all of them are gone. But they like, also whittled down the menu.
They abandoned pies.
Why would they do that? I don't know. What would COVID have to do with eliminating pie flavors?
I don't know.
Supply chain issues.
Yeah, exactly. All the bullshit excuses that don't apply anymore.
Yeah.
Probably still hearing that from certain people nowadays. COVID. Yeah. It's tripped up my business. Yeah, that was 4 years ago, asshole. You shit together.
It's true.
Assholes. Fucking blaming shit on things like that. But why would it cost you a flavor?
The chocolate peanut butter pie is
gone?
Long gone. The banana cream is long gone.
Forget it. Why? Shut it down.
Yeah, exactly.
What's left? Their food's not any good.
No, the food is not good.
Shut it down.
I don't know.
Forget it.
Makes no sense whatsoever. There's no explanation for it. Uh-huh. I agree. Close it up. Board it up.
Well, yeah. First they changed the absolute perfection of the original peanut butter cup pie. And it was still good, but they changed it. You know how it had the fudgy yeah. bottom? That's gone.
Well, they cheaped out, huh? So it was more like cream. They got rid of the...
Yeah. And still, it was good, but it was perfection before. Yeah, but
it was a step down in quality.
They said, you know...
Yes, it was.
We can make some more money if we get rid of the fudge.
Right. Some marketing guy crunching numbers.
Quite possibly the most... like, you know how you see something when you're... Well, even when you're an adult, but when you're a kid, there's something in the fridge.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, you're
this
excited.
Is here in the fridge right now? That was the thing. The old Baker Square peanut butter cup pie. It was like, I can't believe there's a pie and it's this.
And we could have it.
And I can have a piece right now. Like it was
I magic. Can cut a big ass piece for myself.
A magical revelation every time it was in there.
Nick, you're inspiring me. We should find the person who did this, drag him or her into the street, and beat him to death on TV. Live on television. That's what we need to turn this country around.
It would be warranted. People making decisions like that.
Well, we got to start somewhere because it's getting out of hand.
That's as good a place as any. That's an egregious thing to do.
We got
to
take the power back. I've had it with with fast food restaurants tinkering with recipes and making everything worse every year.
And it's not coming from the culinary people in the organization. No. It's all the fucking marketing people, number crunchers.
They should just raise the price.
Raise the price. I'm
fine
with it.
Have the same great stuff, but raise the price.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you get like a higher perceived value. The scumbags are priced out of your restaurant, which is an added bonus.
That is a plus, isn't it? Undesirables.
It's true. Get them out. That factors into the decision, too. They're like, these scumbags aren't going to notice a difference, so just change it. Fuck them.
Yeah, that's true.
Making decisions based on the scum of the world. Forget that.
Yeah, lowest common denominator.
Find another shithole to go to.
It's a slogan.
No longer.
Yeah. That's what Kentucky Fried Chicken should have said in like 1998, but instead they ruined everything. Every year, that's gotten worse. Well, it's inedible at this point.
Is it that bad?
I think it's terrible, but...
I'll still have a popcorn chicken once in a while.
Subway.
Well, Subway. Absolute garbage. Chart. Horrible.
Dunkin' Donuts. Dog shit.
I mean, you get a coffee there, fine, but anything edible, forget it.
Yeah, I've got no problem with a coffee, but you can get coffee or the ice cream, but if you're getting any kind of sandwich or donut,
first of all, there's so many other options for sandwiches that Dunkin' should not even be on the list for you. So it's your own fault if you're ordering a sandwich at Dunkin' and you're disappointed. It's your own fault at that point.
I agree. Inedible.
Yeah, it's garbage. But, you know, that factors into it. These people are just like, just make it worse and these scumbags will still eat it. That's what that kind of thinking has resulted in the end of the peanut butter cup pie at Baker Square. Mm-hmm. It's a tragedy. Mm-hmm. So yes, that whoever made that decision should be taken out back, beaten with, you know, with the give him the blanket party a la Full Metal Jacket, beat the shit out of him with the cakes of soap and towels within an inch of their life.
Well, I agree with you, but I think it should be not taken out back. It should be in front of everyone.
Work,
and
sure.
We say, everyone take note. This is what's going to happen to you if you do this. This is not a secret.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just something, you know.
Stop it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Enough.
Go on and on about like all the terrible decisions that have been made over the course of time, and who gave these people the authority to make these decisions. It's a travesty. Well, fuck it.
Well, thankfully that Arby's is the only restaurant with integrity keeping it together around here.
Keeping it together.
Yeah, but other than that.
Well, I know what Andy's calling for.
What?
If I can ask the great Lee Ving to
public hangings.
There you go.
He wants public hangings.
That's exactly it. Public hangings of all the marketing dickheads and number crunchers, as Chris said, who have ruined.
Some things were better food. Back in the day. That's one of them. There's got to be accountability.
All right. Well, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with loving every minute of it.
So this came out, the album, in August of 85. The next month, I went away to college.
Mm.
And guy in the room next to us in the dorm that I didn't know him, but one of the first recollections of him is he played this at maximum volume on his stereo, and I was like, okay. This guy'll work. this is a quality individual. And just hearing it, the crescendo of volume cascading into the song, it always reminds me of, he would throw this on the turntable and play it at, like, back in the day when he had, the huge tower speakers and those component stereos, he had one of the more formidable ones on the floor, and this is one of his go-to songs, so I always appreciated that.
And I'm reading a little bit about the song itself, that they wanted one more song for the album, and their manager called Mutt Lange, who wrote this in 2 or 3 days.
I'm kind of sick of that story.
Yeah. It's
every album.
It's always...
We turned it in. And then the one good song that everyone likes, they just wrote it.
Yeah, just tossed it together, you know.
It's got to be true in some cases.
He shit it out one morning after an evening at Baker Square, and and this masterpiece just came out of his butthole.
It's actually, however true it is, there's a account from Mike Reno about the way that it came about. It's pretty interesting, actually.
Okay.
You got the Cliff's Notes version there.
I'll give a little quick thing. So, this is back in the day where couldn't send the file or anything like that. Couldn't get it to them really quick. They needed it. Mutt Lange wrote the song. Must have demoed it, played it up, held the phone up to the speakers. They heard it and then had to kind of recreate it from there. So it was probably slightly different from what his original thing was.
Jeez.
Which is pretty interesting.
They couldn't FedEx it.
I guess
they didn't have time.
Maybe
they
didn't have the time, yeah.
Somehow it's the big song.
But really, you didn't have a day or two extra. I mean, you really had to get the song recorded and the album out like immediately.
I'm not going to question it.
That's just adding to the bullshit of the story. I love how Andy just... saw right through it. I'm sick of that story.
Well, I mean,
he says he's right.
We do this
totally
every
agree.
Week. We've probably done it 30 times.
Every hit song. I threw that together in 10 minutes because we did a whole album and they said, well, we need one more. And that was it. It's like, it's never the first song they write that's the best one.
Yeah.
Like, they spend all this time in the studio creating shit.
And then they grab
the phone and call, and it's being played for them over the phone receiver, and it's one of the biggest hits, the best songs of their whole catalog. Yeah, it just doesn't happen that way all the time, right, as they would lead you to believe.
Yeah, every time somehow. Especially when you watch those Behind the Music episodes, that comes up all the time too.
Well, this morning I was watching the classic albums of Paranoid, and that's what they say about the title track of that. And that's probably true, but I think over time it's, you know, people have resorted to that story to sort of embellish what, you know, what really went on with some of this stuff.
I think that's been said about every Motley Crue song that was a hit. It just came out in 1 minute.
Well, and I think Nikki Sixx likes to say if he doesn't have a song written in about 10 minutes, then it's just not happening.
It's not up to his standard.
Because if John Corabi takes more than 10 minutes, then he's bogging down the whole process, apparently.
All right, well, we got some lyrics coming. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah. This is the best part.
I love it.
And, of course, the scintillating vocal stylings of one Mike Reno.
Mm-hmm. Mike Reno also disappointed with the pies being whittled down at Baker Square.
Well,
I'm not a man or machine. I'm just something in between. Oh, 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 oh. I'm all love, a dynamo. So push the button and let me go.
Oh. Oh. Taking me back.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. You know,
planting seeds in the young brain of one Nick Jones. Always fancied himself as a dynamo. And this just fueled it.
This song, lyrically speaking, and what Andy was saying, I get it now, that you probably had plans for having this song be, you know, this would have been a total September pick at some point.
Yeah.
100%. And also, when I chose the first Tom Jones September pick for the end of the first time we did it, Love Machine,
mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, wow, this is like, lyrically, it's loving every minute of it.
Mm.
It's the same sentiment. The entire...
And what a lovely sentiment it is.
Yeah.
There's no difference as far as the subject matter between the two songs.
No.
It's the same thing, huh?
It's exactly the same thing.
It's a great concept, human being as a love machine. what's not to like about that? And, you know, not a man or machine, I'm just something in between. I'm all love, a dynamo. So push the button and let me go.
So he's a cyborg.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
I love that. It doesn't make any sense that I'm not a man or machine, just something in between. It's like a science fiction thing to open it with. And it always like puts me in that mind frame for some reason. It's not like, hey, I'm some dude who's like, you know,
some horny guy.
Some guy who's in great shape and
yeah.
There's like a science fiction tilt to it when it first starts.
Yeah,
and you've got like the synthesizers coming in. So yeah, there's some sort of sci-fi thing going on.
That's
yeah,
kind
song.
Of above the times. Wasn't Terminator out right now?
I think that's
time?
Right.
And
yeah,
maybe. You know, that sort of fascination going on in cinema. Mm-hmm. RoboCop, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, that might have been a little later. I'm not sure. 87 or something, but.
Yeah, no, the whole cyborg thing was probably, you know, top of mind with people. And
that's
and
true.
And they're parlaying it into horniness.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, hear me out. What if instead of a killing machine?
Or law enforcement.
He just bones everyone.
Yeah.
All right, let's go with that. Okay. He's really good at boning.
Yeah.
that's what the thought was.
Now here's, and now on this next batch of lyrics, they're doubling down on the cyborg concept. So,
okay, you ready for it?
Yeah.
All right. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Ah, you want me to come alive? Flick a switch in the overdrive. You and me can let it be ready. Fire! Touch that dial, turn me on. Stop me like a motor, make me run. Loving every minute of it, love it. Loving every minute of it.
I had to stop it.
Mm.
Oh, incredible. One of the greatest songs of all time.
I absolutely unironically agree with that statement.
There is no irony.
I know, but I'm
period.
Just saying with an absolute like that, people might perceive, oh, okay, they're kind of...
No.
They're putting us on a little bit. No, nope.
Nope.
How can you listen to this and think you're being put on by someone who thinks it's one of the greatest songs of all time? I get it when I proclaim my love for Pitbull and people are suspicious of that. Mm-hmm. But this speaks for itself. I mean,
yeah.
The chorus is I love the chorus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the way it leads in the first two lines of the chorus that go into, you know, the title. Just the arrangement and the chord progression, everything perfect, and of course Reno's delivery, outstanding.
Yeah, how long is this song?
It's like 3:33. Yeah. Like
I love every 3.5 minutes of it.
Of course you do. How could you not?
Mm-hmm. It's this is such an awesome song, and I love the keyboard, the do-do-do-do, like the little kind of tiptoeing kind of a...
The you want me to come alive
part.
There's that cascading downward thing that he throws in halfway through that bit. Their keyboard player was great. I'm blanking on his name at the moment, but he always had great parts interjected in all the Loverboy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if let's face it, without the what the keyboard's doing and working for the Weeknd, when you hear the intro to that song, you might not know what song it is. It's not as recognizable without that keyboard.
And you know what? You know, it just literally came to me at this exact moment, a comparison. I would like... What can somebody look up his name? I should know his name. I'm ashamed to say I don't know his name. Yep. I would compare Loverboy the structure of the band. I would
Doug Johnson.
I would compare to the Cars and the Cars. Mm-hmm. Greg Hawkes, keyboard player.
Mm-hmm.
So many imaginative keyboard parts that are like just like vital to those songs. Same deal here with Doug Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Great musician, great contributor to the band.
Turn that dial all the way. Shoot me like a rocket in the space. Loving every minute of it.
Oh, and we didn't even get into the part where there's a call and response with the chorus. Oh,
that's coming, huh?
I'm gonna ruin my shave once that happens. That shoot me like a rocket into space.
Following turn that dial all the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of robotic undertones, well, not even undertones, explicit robotic themes going on here.
Yeah, it's of the times. People, you know, there's a fascination with science fiction and cyborgs and robots and all that shit. And
yeah, Back to the Future. I mean, there's no robots, but science fiction, all that shit going on. The DeLorean turning dials. Surprised there's not a time machine guy who bones women time machines.
Well, there might be one. There might be one that is very close to being done that could kind of be considered then.
Oh, okay. That could be it.
It has a sort of a similar theme.
I didn't think of it
in
that
a sense.
Way. Okay. Loving every minute of it.
And I'll admit I have you know, I strummed the chords and kind of tried to sing this song. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Oh, really?
This is a hard one for me, at least, to try to do.
You know, sing while you're playing.
Well, just to hit the notes like as well as Mike Reno.
Oh,
does.
Yeah.
That's
like next.
I don't know how much credit he gets as a vocalist, but this song in particular is pretty difficult. Some of the parts.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Oh, no question about it. Formidable vocalist. Yeah, I would.
I think people just think of him as a headband sometimes.
Just a sexy headband.
Just a sexy headband.
Yeah. Shaking it on the stage for everyone.
He's got the talent to back it up. Mm-hmm. You know, he had that. I think This Could Be the Night as on this album. Proved himself to be a, you know, crossover ballad singer. I would say is almost. I mean, it happened in a little more of a concentrated time frame, but similar to how Paul Stanley kind of came into his own in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And really pushed the limits of his range, like, and then, you know, in 86 on Crazy Nights with My Way and stuff, just showed that he could hang with some of the best vocalists out there, and Reno's doing the same thing here. Mm-hmm.
I'm ever ready.
he's a battery.
He's a battery.
Yeah.
Well, and you want to talk about another great t-shirt idea? I got fun. You want some?
Yeah, that's good.
Well, there's that bar in Munster.
Mr. Fun is here.
Mr. Fun is here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I wonder if
that song. That song has to be, right?
It's got to be like
probably every, nightly, right?
Like you said, they got a grandfather clock that plays it every 15 minutes.
Whoa, whoa, I'm antenna, aerial, I'm tuning in, mind control. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You got love, you got a deal. You want to drive, then take the wheel. You and me can let it be. Whoa, fire.
Now, he had that, I'm antenna, aerial.
Yeah.
I'm tuning in. I'm out of control.
That is good.
But yeah, that's why it surprised me to learn that Mutt Lange did not participate in the production here, because it's got the call and response gang vocal thing that he's so famous for. That when you listen to the Def Leppard albums, you realize it's Mutt Lange's voice.
Yeah.
like tracked a 36 times on top of itself.
Yeah.
It's like you hear it. I know he wrote the song, but he must have dictated the production somehow, not just inspired it, but he must have had a hand in it somehow. I find it surprising that he's not given any production credit, because this has just got his trademarks all over it.
They must have taken pretty copious notes when he was holding the phone up to the speaker. Because I agree. It's very, you, once you know it's a Mutt Lange song, it all makes sense. Which, yeah, I didn't know up until today. I never really
think he was involved at all in this song? I knew he was involved, but I just naturally thought that he produced the album, and as we know with the Def Leppard stuff, his production extends to getting involved actively in the songwriting.
Mm-hmm. No.
So you didn't know he was involved in any way with this?
No. Did not know that, right, for sure.
Well, there you go. It does make sense.
Touch that dial, turn me on. Stop me like a motor, make me run. Loving every minute of it. Loving every minute.
Those keyboard parts going on during the chorus. Mm-hmm. It's subtle, and you know, you don't really lock into it because you're keying in on the lyrics and the vocal delivery. But again, perfect keyboard part in there.
And like the more that we're discussing it, I keep finding more and more elements of the science fiction angle.
Yeah.
Like just focusing on that lower vocal part that's just mimicking the higher part. You know, there's just the two voices and the one is significantly lower.
Yeah.
It's got a robotic quality to it with the two voices like that. Because if you buy some sort of like vocal processing pedal or something and it's got the robotic kind of thing, it's like two voices.
Yeah, yeah. It just kicks in an octave lower.
So it's like I never really thought about it because, you know, I never really tried to analyze the song in my head before, but now that we're talking about it, it's so science fiction. It's like it's undeniable.
Hmm. When you don't necessarily draw the connection between abject horniness and science fiction, but you know you have it here, and what a great juxtaposition! And again, of the times.
Yeah.
Very contemporary for the mid-80s.
You know, one funny thing I'm noticing as I'm looking over the lyrics over here, unless I'm missing something, there's no mention of him pleasing a woman anywhere in this song. It's all about turn me on and watch me go. But it's not like I'm going to do something good for you. It's just, come on, hit the button.
It's all,
do it,
you know,
do it.
Work on me and so I can love every minute of it.
That's all he's talking about.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And he's not a love machine in that way.
Well, he's a robot, arguably a cyborg, so there might be some humanity there, but don't expect compassion necessarily.
That's true.
We're learning that. I mean, we're going to learn that with all the AI stuff going on. We could talk. That's a whole other discussion, but compassion, empathy?
Not going to be part of it, huh? Not on the menu?
No.
What we've determined that the cyborg is a selfish lover, only concerned with his own pleasure.
That's it.
Loving every minute of it. Don't give a damn how you feel about it. Just shoot me like a rocket into space and get out of the way.
Possibly literally.
Yeah.
Loving every minute of it.
Scott Zeppelin just said, this is AI Def Leppard.
Scott,
I don't know. I think he's trying to start trouble.
I think so. And I'm not taking the bait, Scott.
Yeah, I'm not even going to acknowledge that comment.
Not happening.
I'm not tolerating any sullying of this from anyone.
No.
I stand down, turn me on, stop me like a motor, make me run.
So great.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely fantastic that they switched it up.
Blows my mind that Mutt Lange is not apparently involved as a producer.
Yeah.
This Colm guy, whoever the guy is who produced it, must be just a disciple of Mutt Lange's. But, it's best listen to at maximum volume and ideally when you're a little tuned up and horny, this just will take it to the next level. I mean, this is one that should be blaring out of a car stereo, drawing attention to yourself.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think I need to make that happen this weekend.
Tomorrow.
Just cue it up and roll the windows down and just imagine the reaction of people. Look at that guy cranking, loving every minute of it out of his car. He's in there by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
I'm
if
I to make that happen.
If I try that this weekend, maybe people won't be heckling me as I drive by. Which
could be.
Just keeps happening.
You're advertising to the world that you're not someone to be messed with.
Chris Camarado said, "Def Leppard, if Rick Allen had no arms." People are taking shots over here,
guys. Not a difficult drum part. Could probably manage it with just his 2 feet if he's getting technical about it. Sure.
Shots.
Could have happened.
I'm confused with what I'm reading and what I'm listening to.
Ignore the reading.
Yeah. Man. The difference in opinions. Let's finish this off and we'll talk more.
I mean, loving every minute of it.
Loving every minute of it.
Loving every minute of it.
Loving every minute.
Damn.
So good.
That's one of the
all-time
great songs, man.
And you don't need any intricate drumming. You don't need Max Roach to come into the studio and play on this.
Well, no, and maybe it is a drum machine. I mean, that would be another thing that was kind of the times. You know, ZZ Top was doing it. Cars did it. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Talk about the classic albums or the Behind the Music where Joe Elliott is talking about the approach to the drums. He's like, when you got a drummer playing all that busy shit, it just turns into mush to the guy in the last row of the arena who's there to see you.
Yeah.
Just play the basic beat with a few simple fills and that's all you need to do. And that's what's going on here. And it could be a drum machine, so what?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Well, who wants to vote first?
Well, you brought it.
Yeah, you brought it. You vote first.
I'm giving it a sweet surrender.
Damn right.
It's sweet surrender. Hell yes.
So many good songs by Loverboy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great band. I don't know. I don't know if I should say they don't get the credit they deserve, but I feel like their catalog is on par or better than bands who have better touring spots, if that makes sense. Like, there's no reason you couldn't put Loverboy on, like, the Motley Crue tour or something. Or with Def Leppard or someone, you know, cycle mm-hmm. out Poison for a year. Not that Poison's, you know.
Not that they have any less hits than
Loverboy. No, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
Loverboy should be in that level. But they're not for some reason.
Well, I mean, you don't necessarily associate them with sort of like the Sunset Strip scene or anything like that. They are the opening act on this summer's final tour from Foreigner. They are playing some big venues on that bill. Okay. So, but they get lumped in with like classic rock versus hair metal or the LA sound. So.
Kind of like in the new wave, kind of
slightly. Yeah.
Like you said, the car is kind of
they've got a lot of similarities there with the keyboard bits and whatnot.
But I do feel like at this point it would work. No one would care.
No, and
if Def Leppard took Loverboy on the road, everyone would be loving it.
Well,
no one would care.
At the Def Leppard concert where I had my kidney stone. It was Def Leppard, REO Speedwagon, and Tesla. And
okay.
So, yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen, but it should. But
well,
they're on a pretty big tour this summer.
That's
so
good.
I forget. I don't remember exactly what episode it was, but we were talking when Jericho was on one time, and we were saying that, look, if you took, like, a certain artist's top,
I think we're
songs.
Talking about like Eddie Money, maybe.
I think I was going to say Eddie Money or Huey Lewis was another one.
Huey Lewis.
And you could put it up against anybody. This is a band that would be one of those bands where if you took their top 8 songs,
they're in the conversation.
And let them loose on any size audience.
Well, you could take
it's going to go over.
The entire Get Lucky album, which is 8 or 9 songs, you take all of those and then you add Turn Me Loose, Hot Girls in Love, this. They've got at least 15 massive hit songs that should please any any rock crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Nick, Chris, who's next? Who wants to vote?
Huge Sweet Surrender.
Ooh.
Enormous.
It's Sweet Surrender.
Hell yes.
As sweet as the original recipe for the peanut butter cup pie.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about KFC.
Once, when this song starts, I get almost the same feeling as when I saw the red box in the fridge.
the refrigerator humming.
It might as well have been the same sound. It's this incredible treat mm-hmm. has just, like when you hear it on the radio,
yeah.
This treat has just fallen into my lap. I did nothing to deserve this, but here it is.
And it's mine, and no one's going to tell me
it's
what
mine,
to do.
It's mine. I'm about to indulge for 3.5 minutes in both cases.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe less on the peanut butter cup pie. But, yeah, just love it. Just fantastic. This is a pop song, and it's beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
Very well recorded, well arranged. Not doesn't go off in any strange directions. Doesn't need to.
No, not at all.
Great lyrics, great performance. We didn't really talk about the guitar solo. Wasn't really a solo where it really, you know, it was just kind of almost a, I guess a bit of a, like in a lot of blues songs, how you'd have kind of like everybody playing a certain part, then there's a little lead, and then the same part, and then another lead. Kind of had, you know, a couple interjections, I'd say, more than a solo.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. out here, I'll draw another comparison to the Cars, to Elliot Easton. I think Elliot Easton was maybe a notch or two above Paul Dean in terms of, like, actual technical ability, but they both had that knack for playing the exact right thing for every song. And, you know, he also always had great guitar tone, like a nice aggressive rock sound that would, you know, draw in the rockers, but the subject matter of the songs and the poppiness of the songs brings in the girls. It's a perfect match. Brilliant.
Can't be mad about that. Chris?
Oh, another connection here that serendipity, if you will. Tom Allum, producer of Loving Every Minute of It, guess what else he produced?
What?
Point of Entry, Judas Priest, from which we got Heading Out to the Highway.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
That is cool. And, you know, a significant pop vibe in that particular song.
Yeah,
for sure. He also produced British Steel.
Damn,
those are great sounding albums. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, major, big time heavy hitter.
This guy should be a bit more well known, perhaps.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm learning that he was involved, but yeah, that explains the quality of the production.
I mean, he's responsible for producing this and Living After Midnight.
Yeah,
that's, you know, huge. How many goosebumps this guy's given me over the years when those songs kick
you
in.
You and about a million, yeah. 2, 3, 4 million, I mean, other people.
And both very simplistic songs.
Yeah.
And
that's all you need,
but
right?
But who cares?
Chris.
Engineer on the first 3 Black Sabbath albums.
Shit.
I mean, this guy's, what a resume this guy's got. And he produced On Through the Night, Def Leppard.
Oh, so. My.
Yeah.
This guy's a stud. Chris, you got a vote.
Oh, yeah. Well, the sweetest of sweet surrenders for me.
It's Sweet Surrender.
Hell yes.
Now, just the band that came up. I'm on Tom Allum's Wikipedia page, and I remember one time watching Metal Mania with Chris, and he was very, very disgusted with a certain band that came up. And I don't think it's ever really come up on the podcast all these years.
What, the Crocus?
Crocus.
Yeah. He remembered.
He worked with Crocus. And I just remember the level of disgust that came out of Chris when the Crocus video started.
There's one Crocus song that I love. I'm not going to say it. I'll just, maybe it'll come up in another time. But everything else from them, I never got it. Didn't get it. Plus, they desecrated Ballroom Blitz on one of their albums, and that just killed them for me. But there is one song. It's kind of like Disturbed, where they have one song that I love. Everything else is crap. But going back to my vote, this is one of my all-time favorite songs. One of the great rock songs of all time. I'm going to give Camarado the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to interpret his comment as saying that Loverboy is better than Def Leppard, and I would actually agree with that statement. I'm the same way. When I hear that cascading, the fade-in of the keyboard, and I know this song is coming, it just puts me in an incredible mood, and transports me back to college when that guy who lived in the room next to me would just play this on the regular, and he couldn't have played it enough for me. He could have played it all day long over and over, and I would have been fine with it. So,
man, oh man, this guy, I keep going back to this Tom Allen, man, oh man, he's got some great stuff on here. You know, you see how much Judas Priest he produced.
Yeah,
I mean he produced Firepower. Mm-hmm. He's still producing them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he produced. Let's see, Genesis, their first album, which actually I have a soft spot for because there was a song played at my wedding from that album. He produced.
Well, he was an engineer.
Oh, engineered it. Yes. Yeah. He produced Whitford St. Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our buddy Tony Griggs. He produced Rough Cut's first album.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Man, Kix's oh man. First album. In Rock We Trust, Y&T.
Man.
There's a couple songs in there I love.
A band called Doc Holliday that I don't know.
Hmm.
Produced Feel the Shake, Jet Boy.
There you have it.
Wow, another
That's
classic.
That's on the list.
That's it.
Wow. Yeah, what a resume this guy's got.
It's a stud.
Yeah, this is his high water mark right here.
This would be anybody's.
I would think so.
Well, look where we found ourselves, guys.
All right, Hammond! I got a question for you.
Rock.
Roll.
Big ass boner.
And he got it! Got it! Got it!
Wasting any time.
No, there's no question.
Mm-mm.
You know that whatever bowling alley that was no stranger to this song.
Oh yeah, they probably wore out the copy, had to get another one for the jukebox.
Oh, Pete Weber has committed some crimes to this song playing in the background. Let's just put it that way. with the bowling groupies in whatever town he was in the mid-80s.
Oh, yeah.
Cocaine was wafting up his nose like a summer breeze, and it's all falling into place and at once falling apart for him, and this is probably part of the soundtrack, but hey, things are going to come apart for you. Might as well be to have with loving every minute of it playing in the background.
Brilliant song. Yes. Fantastic pop rock song. Like Chris said, I agree. One of my all-time top favorites.
All-timer, huh?
Oh, yeah.
By anyone.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cliche, but it's true. It's one of those songs where I don't know how many times I've heard it. If I hear it start again, I'm not going to be like, eh.
That never happens.
Not with this one, no. There are a handful of songs like that where it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I'll listen to it.
I never get tired of hearing it. We'll never skip it.
Hmm. So is this your number one Loverboy song?
This would be mine.
I would probably have to say it's a close second to Take Me to the Top of Get Lucky.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's your other favorite.
Are you familiar with that song at all? Nick.
I'd have to hear it. I don't, you know, I never had the Get Lucky album.
Oh.
I should, I know. I'm going to.
That's a.
Hell no! Trash ass music.
Yeah, that's
an uncomfortable
a problem.
Truth, yes.
That's a masterpiece. And Take Me to the Top would probably edge out Loving Every Minute of it.
Okay.
But it's a different vibe. It's a little more atmospheric and moody. Take Me to the Top. This is just balls out horniness, and so I would actually would have to say they're probably neck and neck in that regard. But yeah, depending on the mood, it could go either way. But yeah, this is one of my all time favorite songs. Drew me in immediately from the first listen, and like Nick said, there's never been an occasion where I've like you said, it comes on and you're just like, eh, I'm not really in the mood for this today. No, that's never happened in, what, 40 years?
Yeah.
Almost.
Well, yeah, damn near. 38.
38 years. It's not happened once. Any time I've happened to cross it. So, and I listen to everything on shuffle, and it's on my Spotify liked list. It comes up on Spotify. I do not click past it ever. It's never happened, and it never will.
You ever do the thing when you're listening to music on shuffle and you hear a song by a band, but you're like, ooh, I want to hear the other, like the song before this by the band on that album, or after it, or whatever, and then look it up, or are you just like, the hell with it? Skip.
Oh, yeah, I just skip to the next, see what's next in my liked shuffle.
Now, from that same time period when I made that mixtape, I don't know if this song was on the mixtape back then, but it was a song I loved just as much. I don't know if I should reveal it because it could end up being an episode, and it's one that someone, a member of the band, has been brought up several times over the years. Okay, I won't. But and it's, and I feel it would be much more polarizing than this one.
Well, this shouldn't be
polarizing. Well, I mean, this one, among the three of us, there's no sort of, dissident opinion. But I would say with this other song, there very well would be.
Among the three of us?
Quite possibly. This other one by this artist that, I don't know much by the artist, but I love the song. Not as much as this, but I do love the song quite a bit. And it's a big poppy anthem, rock, kind of thing. So I guess I won't reveal it because it might still come up at some point. Very big fan of it. Not sure how you guys would react to it, though.
So we'll find out.
I'll leave that hanging until it happens.
Our friend Michael Lubatti said, this one's getting added to my grass cutting playlist.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Perfect.
There's no higher compliment.
That's true.
Than to be on someone's grass cutting playlist.
That's when you listen to the best of the best. When you've got about 45 minutes of lawn mowing ahead of you.
And you don't want to be shuffling through things. You want a rock solid list.
Yeah. You can't be taking your player out of your pocket and fiddling with it.
No, you don't want that. No.
You gotta have good shit.
Yeah, I just have. I mean, I have my liked songs on Spotify. It's up to probably 1,500 at this point. And I mean, I obviously like every song on there. Otherwise, thus the name. But there's occasionally ones that I'm not really in the mood for at that moment, and I'll click past it. This would never be one of them, ever.
Never, ever, huh?
Nope. I can't envision a day when that would be the case.
Well, if you're crazy and you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Let's cool off with a commercial break. Everyone, take it easy. Emotions are running high.
Are they?
I don't know. Some people disagree. That's all right. But we'll be right back. Nick, look where we found ourselves.
Where are we?
We are in the yard.
Yards of questions.
Motherfucker, I give them.
Sing away.
Yes, chief.
How about that?
So how's the live chat?
Oh, you know, talking about cutting grass and stuff.
Okay, so pretty good.
Yeah.
So man, the live looks like a lovely live chat. Not like, you know, last week's live chat. Oof.
Yeah, last rough. Week was a little rowdy.
Thought Leona Helmsley had come back. Yikes. It was wild.
Oh, man. All right, so what do we got here? I don't know what this unstable individual is going on about. It's a skipperoo.
A manifesto, if you will.
Yeah. All right, let's go with nice Yardo questions from... Well, let's see if this one's better.
Oh man, they blew it.
Yeah, I mean that's just
they blew it at the end. Andy was loving a few minutes of it.
Yeah.
Not every.
Okay. He's zeroing in on one. I'll be damned. I'm just having trouble here.
What are people doing? What are they? What kind of games are these?
They're just, you know, some of these are long. All right, I'm just going to go with this one. This week's Yardo Questions comes to us from a man named Will S. What's going on, Will?
Hello, Will.
Will, what do you got for us here? Let's see. It says, longtime fan, etc., so I'll get down to business with a potentially fun Yardo. I've also been up working for 2 days straight, so I totally get it if these are not up to par. Sorry, Will. I don't know what you're
doing.
They're
probably going to be great.
Don't know what you're doing for work, but you should stop it.
I think there's a law, Will. You might want to
2 days.
You might want to invoke that law.
Yeah. The hell could you be doing? I hope you're being compensated appropriately for that level of commitment to it.
Lavishly.
Yeah.
If not... Do what the should be done to the Baker Square person who made the decision on the peanut butter pie. Just a beating in the front of the wherever you're working should do the trick. Public humiliation.
That would work. All right, question one. If you had to play a gig in a rock cover band, but you were allowed to pick at least one song to cover... What would you choose and why? So you're hired by the band.
And they said
they're doing 20 songs.
You get one.
You get one. What's it going to be?
That's a good one.
I might have to be loving every minute of this.
Yeah.
There'd be not a song you don't hear in many cover band sets, but it should be. It should be in there.
Well, I'm going to say, just cuz I mean it was so much fun just for me by myself recording it, I'm going to say Moni Moni. How much of a blast would that be to be playing?
That's a good one.
Well, a band you join might already have that in the set. I mean, it's kind of a common one.
Quite possibly.
But if they don't, it should be in there. That's a guaranteed crowd pleaser. Surprised that it doesn't, to my knowledge, is not in the Guardians of the Jukebox set, and it should be.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a given. That's right up there with Don't Stop Believing and Living on a Prayer. I mean, that's, you have to have that in there. Mm-hmm. So, I'm gonna say loving every minute of it. Why not?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Moni Moni. A band that we brought up, because for a little while there, I was practicing with a couple guys that we all know. Years ago, they wanted to do a rock cover band. Rock Paper Rock ended up being the name of it.
I remember that.
Was that Josh and Mark?
Josh and Mark.
Okay.
And I don't know if I was the first guy that was in there with them, like just rehearsing and kind of working stuff out. But I ended up... We ended up just kind of practicing a couple times, and it just kind of fizzled out.
Mm-hmm.
But they let me bring in a few song ideas, and one of them was High and Dry Saturday Night, or Saturday Night High and Dry. And I thought it went over pretty well. I didn't go over because there's no audience, but just how it sounded performing it,
mm-hmm.
I thought it worked pretty well. I mean, that's not one that everyone's gonna know, but I think it's one that everybody could get into.
Yeah.
Even if they're not that familiar with it, it's just like, oh, what's this song? I don't know.
Literally were in this position.
I was in this position.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it was like this one. I think we tried Never Say Die.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to think of what other song.
By Sabbath?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That one, there was a Genesis song that we tried. It was Lily White Lilith we tried. Some weird timing in that, though. It was okay, but yeah. They let me, what kind of stuff are you into? What do you want to try?
Who was the drummer?
Me.
Oh, you were the drummer.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. That seems like a mistake. Not that you couldn't do it, but I feel like you would want to be in that group. You should have been utilized as guitar / vocals.
Well, they gave me a mic.
Oh, singing drummer.
So it was fun. Those couple of rehearsals over at.
It's just the three of you?
Yeah, just the three of us at the facility.
Okay.
Over there, and yeah.
What facility?
The facility that they work at, that they give lessons at.
We were
over there after hours rehearsing.
Got it.
It was fun, but yeah, it just kind of was one of those things where it would have been all night on a weeknight.
Yeah.
And it was the reality of it, I don't think is going to work.
No.
But good times. So yeah, I actually was kind of in this position.
That's cool. Question two. What's your favorite recording anomaly / aberration you're glad an artist kept on their album? One you're unlikely to hear in current day rock. For example, I love how you can hear the snares buzzing on the intro to Them Changes by Buddy Miles.
Okay.
So there you go. Can you? I mean, that's a hard one to remember, I feel like, but maybe you guys have something.
I got one that always, that every time I hear the song, I notice it. And it's not big, but I notice it, and it's like, oh, that's cool that they left it in there. It is a Whole Lot of Loving by Fats Domino. There's sort of like a, after he's done singing a verse and chorus or two, there's just sort of like a dun 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 dun, and there's just like one part where he kind of like stabs the note like a little staccato, and you could tell he flubs it a little bit.
Just whatever.
Yeah, and it's like every time I hear it, I'm like, I'm glad that's in there actually. Something like that, and I'll give you one that I've never liked, and I get it that this is what they do in a certain genre of like bebop jazz.
Yeah.
I never liked when you can hear them, like Oscar Peterson, one of the all-time great jazz pianists, he's like grunting in the background.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it that that's like a thing that people love about that.
Yeah.
I hate it. I can't stand it. It's like, you got this like awesome, you know, instrumentation going on, this instrumental performance.
And he's Mongolian throat singing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like... Yeah, a lot of it too, and it's to the point where it ruins it for me. It takes me out of it.
Chris,
man, that's a good one. I'm trying to think here. I don't know. I guess maybe in just general terms, like, and we've noticed this a lot on some of the songs we've done on the show and we've brought it up, but like when you can hear the guitar player's fingers sliding across the strings, it's making that like squeaky sound as it goes over the wound strings. That kind of like human element of music has all but been stripped out of what I can, you know, tell is what's going on in modern music. Not that I listen to a ton of it, but it just doesn't, you don't get the impression that it's just like, I mean, yeah, somebody sat down and played it, but they just like, they edited out all the sort of the warts and the nuances of it, and that's one thing you just don't hear in music that I can tell. And then the other thing is just the, like, the production of the drums. They all sound the same.
Yeah.
You don't hear any nuance in the drumming and, like, differences in drum kits and technique and style. It's all kind of similar to what we just listened to, where it all sounds like sort of artificial and mechanical. And it's just, you know, just the personality of the players on any given recording seems to have been stripped out of a lot of the really popular rock music of the day.
And question three, name a song you love by an artist you otherwise don't care about. I'll tip my cap to Nick by nominating Randy Newman's Old Man. Sorry, Chris. Keep up the great work, boners. Thank you, Will.
Yeah, there's a... I will say one artist who I don't care for, but has maybe two or three songs where I can't deny these are awesome songs, just so well written and well performed, is Madonna. I'm not a fan. I would never say I'm a Madonna fan.
Yeah.
But there
she got some bops.
There are some songs where it's like, man, this is great.
Well, sure. Of course. Like,
you know.
Like which ones?
Open Your Heart to Me is one.
Yeah.
Beautiful Stranger off that Austin Powers soundtrack.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a pretty great one. I'd have to think. But yeah, those are the two that jump out at me. I guess in the same vein, a group that musically I never really took that seriously, but in recent years have, largely in part to discussions that we've had on this podcast, is the Spice Girls.
Mm.
Same, like, you know, like a guy my age would not be like, I'm a fan of the Spice Girls. But yeah, they got some really, really great songs.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, if you just can open your mind and appreciate that pop music has a lot of, you know, there's a lot of craftiness that goes into the best pop music. You know, there's no guilty pleasure or irony, and or should be any of that in liking what you like, and that goes for, you know, pop music.
You know, I can't disagree with Nick. Now I'm thinking about it. When I went to that Duran Duran Nile Rodgers concert, he played a couple of the Madonna songs that he was involved in,
yeah,
and they stood out as being excellent.
Like which ones?
He played Like a Virgin, and what else did he play? I'm not remembering. Another early hit.
Who's that girl?
No,
I don't know.
No, but... Oh, Material Girl.
Oh, okay.
That was it, yeah. But yeah, like, they stood out. It's like, yeah. Oh yeah, these are good.
Yeah, I mean, whoever was, whoever they were connected with, you know, in as far as, especially early on in her career, as far as songwriting and producing and everything,
mm-hmm,
they had some some great folks on board.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Burning Up, if you're a rocker, that's a good rocking song from Madonna.
I don't know, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite one off the first album. It's one of my favorites. It's a rocker.
And congratulations to Madonna on transitioning into a Fraggle in recent years.
Yeah. Hey. Well, you do you, boo.
Exactly.
As they say.
Good for her.
Yeah.
She's happy.
So I'll mention one by an artist that was mentioned on the last episode, one Avril Lavigne.
Mm.
And yes, I could not care a whit about anything else I've heard from her, but that, that ballad, I'm With You, that she does, was on her first album.
I missed that one.
That's a fucking great song.
Okay.
Any way you caught it. That is a top shelf professionally done, professionally crafted pop ballad, and that is a legit great song from her.
Well, there you have it. I have to check that one out. I don't think I will, but I believe you.
Well, check out "Burning Up" by Madonna.
I'll do that.
That one, well, you might enjoy.
I can't.
That.
I will say. Thing.
I remember working at the music store when the first Avril Lavigne album came out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like something I go listen to, but when you hear it, it's like, all right, this is like, yeah, a lot of talented people were behind making this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like it's just one of those things. You might not love the album, but you have to recognize that, okay, like this is something that a lot of people believed in and a lot of money was put into.
Right. And as you get older, when you consume music like that, and you're not going to lose your credibility amongst your friends for liking it or appreciating it, you know. Sort of analyze the songwriting, analyze the production techniques, and figure out why it was so popular, and appreciate the work and the talent that went into creating it. That's how I approach it. I mean, I don't like every pop song of all time, and certainly the more recent pop stuff I've just completely lost on, because I don't hear the quality that I heard in the pop music that I was hearing in my 20s and 30s. Yeah. And it might be just another being a product of what happens to just about everybody. Once you get to a certain age, nothing new appeals to you anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not supposed to.
Right.
It's the natural order of things. But, you know, Spice Girls, Avril Lavigne, Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way is one of the greatest songs of all time, hands down. Go down the list. There's nothing wrong with liking pop music. You know, we're not 12 anymore. You're not going to give up your credibility amongst your buddies because you like songs that chicks like. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, that's why I couldn't like Avril Lavigne. I wasn't 12, but I was probably 18. And it's like, this is not happening. This doesn't work for me, brother.
Right.
When that came out, but
that's the reason, right?
I'm sure that was like I wouldn't even allow to.
No.
I wouldn't even allow myself to listen to it.
No,
you know what I mean, didn't give it a chance. Probably can't. There's just some things where you can't. If it came out at the right time in your wrong time in your life, I guess, depending on what side of the fence you're on.
Well, like in my case, you know, in the early '80s, early MTV, one of the bands that I dismissed. Publicly, like amongst my friends, I would never admit that I liked them, was Duran Duran. But, you know, their videos were on constantly, and you listen to the music like, wow, these guys can fucking play. Especially the John Taylor, the bass player.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And then when you don't have to put up appearances to other people, you can just appreciate something for what it is. That was one that I had to keep my love, I wouldn't say I loved them, but I had to keep my appreciation for Duran Duran secret. So I didn't want anybody to know that I liked Duran Duran, because it's music for chicks. But first of all, there's nothing wrong with that. Who doesn't want to have chicks at a show they're going to? And, you know, those guys could fucking play.
Right.
And arrange, and they worked with Nile Rodgers pretty heavily.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are top shelf musicians in the history of music. They're going to put out quality stuff.
Agreed. And that's going to do it for this week's episode. If you want to submit your Yard of Questions, go to podofthunder.com, click that little widget, make it happen. If you want to get in on the live experience over here, we stream the video. You can watch us sit here and react to this live, chat with us, see what you think, read some of your stuff. What else, Nick? What else do we do here? What's up with that Patreon? It's got all kinds of fun stuff. You can download every sound clip that we have in our library.
We're adding new ones as they come up, right?
Yeah.
Are they being put up there before the episode even?
No.
I think that happened once.
That happened once, yeah, but
that's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, but hey, you can also make that happen. So do that. I don't know, was it patreon.com/potofthunder? Probably.
I believe that's it. Yeah.
If you want to find it, you'll find it. But we'll be back next week with another episode. Bye-bye!
And I think I'm going to be.